Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org. If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
And good Sunday afternoon to you all, princes and princesses of patriotism. I am Michael B., your pathfinder in this current front, in the battle for liberty that we currently find ourselves in. It's 2 minutes after the top of the hour. This is the Michael Berryman Show. I've got my buddy Eric Adams co-hosting with me today. Eric's going to be starting a show next Friday. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. Wow, what a week. We got a lot to talk about. Eric, in fact, is going to, well, I don't want to spill the beans, but he's got a lot to say about Obama's visit to the Pope. Kathleen Sebelius blames Texas for Obamacare's failures. We've got Tea Party rally to talk about the 12th of April on the down in Corsicana. We have a really big show scheduled for next Sunday. You do not want to miss this show. It is going to feature Senator Dan Patrick for Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Senator Ken Paxton for Attorney General of Texas, Wayne Christian for Railroad Commissioner of Texas, Sid Miller for Agriculture Commissioner of Texas, Connie Burton for Texas Senate District 10, Steve Toster for Senate District 4, Bob Hall for Senate District 2, John Ratcliffe for the 4th Congressional District in Texas, who is in a runoff against Ralph Hall, who is going up for his 19th term in Congress. We've got Eric Moran for the State Board of Education, District 11. Wow, I don't even think that's all of them. I'm going to have to pull it up. We'll talk about it some more. Scott Osborne, who will be my co-host and special producer for that show on the 6th of April, will be joining us in a little bit. Ralph Gonzalez let me tell you, Ralph is with the Navarro County Conservative Society of Navarro County. He'll be joining us to talk some about the rally. I'm going to be giving a 20-minute speech at that rally. I'm so excited. My buddy Eric Adam, my fellow host, and my buddy that owns Tea Party Productions, he'll be there. Frank Kuchar's MC, and things are cooking in Texas. So we got a lot on our plate today to discuss that's to deal with last week's news and the next two shows and a rally. By the way, you can find me at facebook.com/theflyingshamrock. That's facebook.com/theflyingshamrock. You can find me on Twitter at @CNMHostMichaelB. Our website is conservativenationmedia.com. We have a daily newspaper. We have a community that you can sign up for and build a profile and stay in the loop. We have a live chat on there. We've got daily news that's updated twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening. We're building shows. We're rocking and rolling. ConservativeNationMedia.com is on the move. The phone number is 718-305-7176. I'm going to jump right into a few thoughts, and then we'll bring Eric in if we can get there before the soft break. If not, otherwise, Eric will be joining us right after the soft break. But today's thoughts are, remember the Alamo, remember Goliad. You know, Patriots, in the annals of Texas history, no singular month or year stands out in the mind of a true-hearted Texan like that of March 1836. For it is of that moment in history that the course of Mexico, Texas, and America would change, and the world at large would come to know the spirit of a Texan. The world would recount with triumphant calls from William Barrett Travis pinning his victory or death letter and the fate of 189 valiant and noble men who gave their lives in the cause of human liberty on March 6, 1836. What the world would not remember with as much fondness and has been left to the footnotes of history is the infamous Goliad Massacre. On March 27, 1836, General Jose Antonio Mejia, under the orders of Mexican President and General Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna, executed in cold blood 350 to 450 Texans, including Colonel James Fannin. After the executions, the bodies were burned, the remains left exposed to weather, vultures, and coyotes. Not the kind of coyotes that bring up illegals from south of the border. I'm talking about the four-legged, woolly dogs. And they were left there until June 3rd, 1836, when General Thomas J. Rusk, a man who my fourth great-grandfather was very good friends with while he was serving as Attorney General for the Republic, I might add, who had established his headquarters at Victoria after San Jacinto, and was passing through Goliad in pursuit of General Vicente Filasola's retreating army, gathered the remains and buried them with military honors. Out of those two singular events in March 1836, the Texans found their rallying cry, remember the Alamo, remember Goliad, in April of that year. And under the command of General Sam Houston, they would defeat Santa Anna and his army at San Jacinto. The Texans took the lives of 630 Mexican regulars and captured 730, a number that totaled more than that of the Texas Army. And the fortunes of war also placed the author of all their troubles and calamities, Santa Anna himself, in the possession of the Texans. And instead of sacrificing him to the spirit of revenge, as was their right to do, The Texans instead set him free along with his countrymen. Well, they did this, folks. The Texans and the Anglo-Americans and the Tejanos, because Santa Anna, who had fought against Spain for a federal union, became a centralist. He wanted to centralize power in Mexico City. And this gets to the reason why the left in the mainstream media doesn't understand Texans. Oh, sure, they know the basics of our history, but you oftentimes hear them say, oh, those kooky Texans, boy, they're the right wing down there. It's because they don't understand. They understand the events that happen, but what they don't understand is it is those events and the reason they happened that makes a Texan a Texan. It's in our blood. It's inculcated upon us from birth, our heritage. And it is of that spirit and that vein, that fortitude and those passions that we conservative grassroots activists and Tea Party activists and 912ers and liberty activists support candidates like Dan Patrick for lieutenant governor, Ken Paxton for attorney general, Wayne Christian for railroad commissioner, Sid Miller for agriculture commissioner, State Board of Education District 11, Steve Toth for Senate District 4, Bob Hall for Senate District 2, John Ratcliffe for the 4th Congressional District, and a list as long as my arm. These are the Tea Party candidates, and we support them because it is those candidates, those patriots, who in the same vein and same desires of human liberty and freedom have placed themselves before Texans ready to battle the enemies of liberty, the enemies of freedom, those who would impose tyranny upon us, to include some on our own side. Patriots, as a fourth-generation Texan, one whose anti-Senate was Attorney General for the Republic of Texas under Sam Houston from 41 to 44. That's 1841 to 44. One whose second great-grandfather served in statewide office, and if not for his untimely death in 1920, would have been governor instead of Pat Neff. And one who knows personally these four men, as in Dan Patrick, Ken Paxton, Wayne Christian, and Sid Miller, as well as the other people that will join us on the 6th of April, who willingly serve at our pleasure. It's my greatest honor to support them and for conservative nation media to endorse them and for us to give of our time what we can to ensure the future of Texas and our children. God bless Texas and God bless America. It is 12 minutes after the top of the hour, folks. Look, if you're in Tennessee, there is going to be a Defend the Constitution rally coming up in April. Let's get this up here. I got to share this with you guys. Look, I love to toot Texas horn, and I think Eric will probably do the same. But there's going to be a rally coming up in Tennessee. It's going to be in Waynesboro, about an hour and a half south of Nashville. And if you're anywhere in that tri-state area, you need to attend this. Defend Our Constitution. It's going to be on, I wish Uncle Bing was here with me because I don't have the information right at my fingertips, and I'm a poor host, and Duke's going to put me in Huntsville radio prison because I don't have the information, but I'm going to get it, and I'm going to talk about it here in a little bit. With that, let's go ahead and take our first break, make a little bit of money. We'll come back out of that, and we'll be joined by my buddy, my brother from another mother, someone that is a band of my brothers, Eric Adam. Be right back.
If you love America, you're among.
It might help if I played the right spot.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
If Sam Houston, Travis, Bowie, and Austin were here today, they would be proud of Texas, but they'd be ashamed of Washington. Illegal immigration is Washington's responsibility, but it's our problem.
Dan Patrick is the only candidate for lieutenant governor to oppose in-state tuition for illegal immigrants.
I'll do what Washington won't do. I'll secure our border and I'll end sanctuary cities. And I'll never stop fighting against Obama's attacks on Texas.
Secure the border. Fight Obama. Dan Patrick for Lieutenant Governor.
Mitch McConnell has had a long career in politics. But after 30 years in Washington, is his leadership really the best that we can do?
McConnell has voted for higher taxes, bailouts, debt ceiling increases, congressional pay raises, and liberal judges.
I'm Matt Bevin. I approve this message because America deserves more than failed leadership. We can do better.
Matt Bevin, small-town roots, successful businessman, father of nine, veteran, conservative, Republican for U.S. Senate.
And you're listening to The Michael Berryman Show on conservativenationmedia.com. Hour. The phone number, 718-305-7176. You can find us at conservativenationmedia.com. My Twitter handle is at CNMHost_Michael. You can find me at facebook.com/theflyingshamrock. That's flying without the G. We're going to bring in my brother, Eric Adam. But real quickly, Adam, I got you on a hot mic here, but I've got that information. DefendTheConstitutionRally.com. If you're in the tri-state area, April 25th through the 27th in Waynesboro, Tennessee. You got to go. Lisa May from Big Dog Music Mafia, Nathan Picard, Brian Fuch, Bobby Powers in the Party Time, Buck Allen, Close Open Socket, Jimmy Grooms is some of the artists. Got speakers, Scotty Nichols, Karen Vaughn. I think everybody knows who Karen and Mr. and Mrs. Vaughn are. Good friends of mine. They lost their son in extortion 17. Joe Carr, Mike Murray, Wild Bill, John Harris, Kathy Henners, Rosie Gaw, Bobby Patre. This is going to be Eric. I think we might just need to load up the truck and do a round trip up there and not stop. Just go up there and join that thing. I don't know. It looks pretty fun.
Yeah, it does actually. It looks like a hell of a lot of fun. So, you know, if y'all can make it out there, make it, man. You know, obviously take care of your families and your other obligations first. But it sounds like it's going to be a great event.
Well, brother, before we start talking topics, in particular Obama and the Pope, as a fellow Texan. My opening monologue there. You know, this is an important month. March and April, to you and I and our fellow Texans are, I guess, you know, maybe I just take it for granted that I understand it. You and I understand it. And people outside of Texas, they don't get March and April for Texans. But, and I guess, you know, do you think I'm onto something about the left and the mainstream media? Because, you know, you always hear them talk about Texans. And I honestly believe it's because they know about the Alamo. They know maybe some of them know about the Alamo.
That's the problem. They think they know about it. Okay.
Well, they know the basics. They don't know why.
Well, here's the thing. When it comes to the Constitution, there's a reason why the Texians hoisted that Mexican flag with 1824 emblazoned across it, because it was the Constitution of 1824 that was tossed out.
Exactly. Now, it was usurped by Santa when he became a centralist.
But you
just
know,
like we're seeing right now, Eric.
No. Exactly right. But here's the problem that the left has. They don't concentrate on the federalist system that the Constitution of 1824 set up. You know what, Mike, this is just between us as Texans, okay? You know, I just want to make sure.
Everybody cover their ears.
Okay.
Go ahead, brother.
That Constitution, it had slavery in it. So that's what everybody focuses on. Not the fact that it was a federalist constitution, that they could have removed slavery like what we did with the 12th, 13th, 14th Amendment and everything else and the Emancipation Proclamation. No. They focus on the fact that the 1824 Constitution had slavery in it. So we Texans, don't tell anybody, Mike, we Texans, we were fighting for racism, okay?
Yeah.
You notice
yeah.
that there was never a black president of the state of Texas? I mean, that's how racist we are.
Right.
Right? So my whole point is they don't concentrate on the Federalist aspect of that Constitution. They focus on what they tried to make the original sin, since we're going to be talking about the Pope later, about, you know, there is slavery in that. No, that's not the point. That's not what it was about. That's not why 139 people stood up at the Alamo and held off what Santa Anna was doing. That's not what it was about. It was about the Federalist Constitution, and nobody gets that. It
right.
just
and, you know,
because it allows what? Slaves that you know, oh, okay, we're a bunch of freaking racists.
Let's move it back to what people – you and I understand, but most people don't realize. If you go back to 1824, to the Battle of Anahuac and the Battle of Nacogdoches, the reason mm-hmm. those events, which were basically the opening guns of the Texas Revolution, although
it's besides Gonzales.
Yes, but this was in 1824 when Piedras, under the orders of Santa Anna, was told to confiscate, get this, Eric, all the weapons of the Anglo-Americans. In East, at the time, Texas was pretty the center of the center of population was the Nacogdoches, San Augustine area. They wanted to confiscate weapons, and the Texans said, hell no. And they did an up road fight to Old Stone's Fort in Nacogdoches, causing Piedras to escape under the cover of darkness. He fled down the El Camino Real to get to San Antonio. They held up at the Angelina River at Joseph Durst Homestead, which is my family's property. That George Terrell, the Attorney General, my fourth great grandfather, bought that from Joseph Durst, who is an ancestor by marriage, and that's where Colonel Piedras ended up surrendering. 350 Mexican regulars ended up surrendering to James Bowie and 16 other men on horseback. And so what you're talking about, there's a variety of slavery. You know, you're absolutely right. It started with things that we're currently seeing happening today.
Well, yeah, and thing is that, you know, there's another radio show host that talks about this, which is the left doesn't like Texas because we fought back against somebody who was just trying to have absolute dictatorial control, okay? I'm sure that if we would have remained an independent republic, which we're the only state out of 50 that can claim that, a recognized republic, that it would have ended eventually, whether or not the Civil War, or whether we would have taken the South side and the North side, whatever. I think it would have ended. The problem is the fact that Santa Anna didn't want the power to be with the people. He wanted to make that decision. He wanted to make that ultimate dictatorial, okay, you can no longer have slaves or whatever. And slavery is an absolute abomination. I'm not here to defend slavery or anything like that.
Of course
not. What I'm here to say is that a constitution that was ratified by the nation of Mexico was tossed out the window, and that's what we went to about. Okay, fine. You're going to sit here and take away the federalist system that we had? Fine. We are going to do it ourselves. You can go pound sand, caliche clay, whatever it is. We're not going to mess with that. We're, you know, whatever. and we still kicked their butt.
Yeah,
okay?
with an army that was the size of everyone at the Battle of San Jacinto that we either killed or captured. That's how big our militia was. And now here, you know, and what you're saying, Adam, Eric, is what most people don't understand is our forefathers, they came here under the Constitution of 1824, which made them Mexican citizens as bona fide as though they had been born on the soil. And they were content to live quietly and obediently under that Constitution until it was usurped on the backs of a broken federal union. And that, you know, and that is what precisely, that is when I look at our current day problems, Eric, that I see, that's why I am, as a proud Texan, I love my history anyway, but so much of what we're seeing today in 2014 under Santa Anna de Barack Obama scares the living frickin' daylights out of me because this history repeats itself, and it's repeating itself. And Texans, it's not that we don't want to live quietly. It's not that we don't want to live under the – you know, people – you know what I always say, Eric? People don't understand Texans, and there's only one thing you need to know to understand Texans. Leave me the hell alone to go about my business, and we've got no problems.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. And you took the words right out of my mouth, which is just leave us alone. Man, we don't want your federal money. We don't want any of that. I mean, those of us who are pure Texans, you know, just don't take our land. You know, okay, I understand about boundaries and stuff like that. That's understandable. You got to have county boundaries and all that good stuff.
But don't claim eminent domain for
exactly.
Bullshit parks on our land.
Hey. Now, do I have to throw down the...
Yes, you caught me. I got to put $5 in the I screwed up jar. Retract the BS word. I momentarily lost myself.
That's okay. That's fine. I don't know if it's
thank
just
you,
me
thank
being
you for
on the
calling
mic
me
right
out.
Now or
Duke,
not.
Duke would love that.
Hey, I caught you.
I know.
Anyway.
I get so wound up.
Well, the thing is, my whole thing with all this is the fact that we are Texas. We cannot be understood because you know why? It actually takes balls and intelligence to understand Texas, not fruits and nuts of California. It takes balls and intelligence to understand Texas. Okay.
Well, you know, I can't wait for my buddy to call in, Eric, a guy that I want to introduce you to, and you guys need to friend on Facebook, Scott Osborne. He is a brand new Texan. And as you and I know, there's Texans that are here for 6-7 generations, and then there's good folks that move from abroad that have the heart of a Texan. Scott Osborne is one of those, and a man I'm proud to call a Texan. And guess where he just moved from? Escaping tyranny, seeking freedom.
Well, he either
California.
Moved from California. If you would have let me finish.
I know, dude. I'm ADD. I'm going ADD here.
I was about to say, California, Michigan, New York, maybe Florida on a stretch, Massachusetts, Delaware, Vermont. And, you know, and for anybody listening out there, we support you. Vote with your feet. If you move down to Texas, you remove, and if the population drops, then you remove the number of representatives that hopefully some of these states won't have any representatives to begin with because they're just – crazy. So,
well, and, you know, and let's not forget to mention our Tejano brothers and sisters who have a history that predates Anglo-Americans who came to Texas that were fighting for the same thing and fought side by side with us. You know, I think that's another thing that the left deeply misunderstands about the Hispanic.
Well, there were more people than just Davy Crockett that came from Tennessee. you know, to help fight with the Texans.
Jose Navarro, Juan Seguin. Yeah. I mean, the list is a mile long with Tejano Patriots. And you see it today. You see it today with a really – well, look what happened in South Texas. Wendy Davis lost the Democrat primary in the 17 counties that constitute the Rio Grande Valley to a conservative Democrat.
Yeah, and that's just – I mean, and she thought – Abortion Barbie thought that she was going to ride that – wave, you know, from her little filibuster and all that good stuff. And people like my mother, she gets worried about, she's going to get the woman vote. She's going to get the woman vote. She lost South Texas.
Yeah, really? Hey, brother,
what
look.
What more do you need to know?
We got to duck out of here quick. We are up against
yeah,
it.
Yeah, go.
Hi, I'm former Dallas Cowboy Chad Hennings. You know, Texas is a special place to live, to work, and to raise a family. And it's important that we keep it that way. One way we can do that is to make sure we have a winning team of leaders who will serve Team Texas with honor and integrity. That's why I'm supporting Republican Ken Paxton to be our next Attorney General.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm behind you 100%.
Ken is known as a man of strong conservative convictions who's not afraid to stand firm for Texas values. Ken's a man of faith, devoted to his wife and his family. In short, he's the kind of person you'd be proud to support. To learn more about Ken, go to kenpaxton.com. This is Chad Hennings asking you to support my friend, Ken Paxton, for Attorney General.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
It's no secret. President Obama is working to redefine America. Hi, I'm Nancy Mace, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate. My American experience was rooted in a strong, principled family that taught me anything was possible and that life and liberty are the foundation of the American dream. Now that dream is under attack by career politicians who lack the courage to stand against the leftist media and the party establishment to cut the deficit, defund Obamacare, and stop the NSA spying program. The truth? We need to fundamentally transform Washington, not America. I'm Nancy Mace, and I approve this message because we cannot change Washington until we change who we send to Washington.
If you agree with Nancy Mace that we need new leadership to restore the conservative principles that make America great, visit nancymace.org or follow Nancy Mace on Facebook.
You're listening to The Michael Berryman Show on conservativenationmedia.com. Obama took it all away. Hey, listen, it is 33 minutes after the top of the hour, Eric. The phone number 718-305-7176. My buddy Scott's listening in. He says he's going to be calling in here shortly. Another good friend of mine, Ralph Gonzalez, is going to be calling in here in a little while to talk about the Tea Party rally. We've been talking some Texas history. Eric, just give us final thoughts on that. And anybody can call in 718-305-7176, and we'll touch back on anything that we've heretofore talked about, which has only been the makeup of Texans. Final thoughts on that, and then let's move into the topic of the week, the news du jour, which is a smorgasbord of talk. And that is Obama visiting the Pope, at which you've got a lot to say and are a lot better versed at it than I am.
Well, first of all, will you stop trying to use big words? News du jour, things
yeah,
like
well.
That. And how is it that you're a Scotsman? Maybe you can give a little bit of history on this, but yet your username is Flying Shamrock, which is typically Irish. And I don't want to get between a Scotsman and an Irishman.
I'm Scots-Irish.
You're Scots? Oh, okay. All
I'm
right.
Protestant.
Yeah, whatever.
Well,
anyway.
That's what the term means. Scots-Irish means you're of Scottish descent, but you're Protestant, and your family moved from Scotland to Northern Ireland.
Okay. But
it was meant to differentiate between the Catholics who came here that were so sorely taken advantage of that were Catholic and the Protestants that had come here prior to, you know, the Irish immigrants.
I'm going to be in trouble, Mike. I just smoked in my office for 5 seconds. So
I've
the
been
queen's
doing it. My wife
actually
walked in here and gave me a frown.
Did she?
So wrap up the conversation. Let's move into
the thing about Texas, you can't understand Texas. You can't. I mean, it is genetic to be a Texan. You can't. Now, with all due respect to everybody who is transplanted here, we'll give you spiritual blood transfusions and things like that. You came here for a reason. Just like what a lot of people come into America for a reason, okay? Because of freedom and liberty and all that good stuff. But you just cannot, yet again, it's like describing to a blind person what the color purple looks like. You cannot describe what it's like to be a Texan. You can't.
Hang on one second. Actually, I did see a movie one time where a guy did describe colors to a blind girl. What was that?
And that's
one
the
with
movie.
Cher? Yeah, it was based on a real movie. It was the Mask with Cher and Eric Holtz and
okay. I'm going to drive up
tangent
where
tangent
you're at
tangent
and I'm going to demand the surrender of your man card because you saw a movie with Cher in it.
Hey, my man card was already taken away by Scott Grassroots Whitting in Tennessee because one of my favorite movies is Steel Magnolia. But now before you say anything, Texas Trendy Chick, at Texas Trendy Chick, Ashley Sewell, is a big fan of Steel Magnolia.
You just made me commit alcohol abuse. I just had to shoot beer out of my mouth because one of your favorite movies is Steel Magnolias?
I love Steel Magnolias. But hey, look, before you go into a rant, because I know it's going to take a while, let's just get my buddy
Lord
on here to
have
say
mercy upon me, a sinner. Oh my God!
Let's get my buddy in here to say hi. Let him talk about what we've been talking about. He's gonna hang out with us, so we'll make it a panel. But I do want to get to the Obama thing. But let's. I want to introduce you to you guys. Got to make connection on Facebook. Scott, Eric, Scott. Scott, what's going on, brother?
Hey, brother. It's good to talk to you. And nice to meet you, Eric. I sent you a friend request. And let me tell you, I'm going to put it out this way. There's some little things that every day that I notice in Texas that make me smile, and here's the one that does all the time. You know, I drive down the road, and I drive into our neighborhood, and it's this little kind of tiny road, and there's cars parked on both sides, and you've got to really navigate to drive down the road.
Oh, God, yeah.
Why is that a big deal? Because in California, they would have legislated that away. They would have told you can't park your car in front of your house. And Texas's solution to the problem is slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
And it was kind of interesting trying to get that U-Haul truck down through here and down into this little alley. But every time I go by, I think, yeah. And, you know, our next-door neighbor's house is our property line. Now, that would never go in California. They've legislated all that away. You've got to have it so far from the property line. In fact, they've legislated house building to a point with the environmentalist that most people can't even afford to buy a house anymore. So I just kind of followed everybody else down here, getting out of California, getting out of the communistic country of California that they've turned it into.
Why were
with Governor Moonbeam, and I'm a proud Texan now.
Why were you there to begin with?
Well, I was born there, and, you know, I left. I left when I was in my 20s. I left, and I was living in Florida, and I was teaching sales and management skills down in the Caribbean at Trinidad and Grenada. And my sister started having children.
What were you saying?
And she had a little girl 10 years ago. I came home for Christmas, and that little girl, Sidana, who's 12 years old now, wrapped her finger, her hand around my little finger and never let me leave. And I moved back there for family. But I never really wanted to go back. In fact, I'd said for years I would never go back to California. Did for that reason. And a year ago, my sister said, let's move to Texas. And I said, let's go. And I'll tell you, Michael, you were the first person to know about that decision. I got on Facebook and said, guess where we're moving?
It took us a little bit,
but we're here.
When you told me that your sister and you and the family was all moving down here, I was so excited. Eric, Scott was one of my earliest social media mentors. He and a guy by the name of Stephen Williams actually drugged me, not kicking and screaming, but I willfully did it. But they drugged me into this addiction that we call broadcasting. And
maybe they just wanted to see what was underneath your kilt. I don't know.
Well, I'm trying to actually get Scott into a kilt for the rally in Corsicana. But Scott, we're hang tight, brother. We got a long show ahead of us. I hope you can stick around, and you might be able to contribute to what Eric's going to rant about here. But just real quickly, I've been mentoring you the last several months as best I could on Texas history. Scott helps teach his nieces, and he's been able to some of my stuff has been able to help him in that arena. Did that better help you understand Native Texans, the makeup of Native Texans?
You know, it really did. It really did, because it's a different kind of an attitude, and it's all in the attitude. And you know better than most, Michael. I'm forever posting the come and take it flag. When you go back and you look at especially Sam Houston and Santa Ana and Mr. Austin and what they went through to get us to where we're at today, they were fighters. They were
obviously
they
Santa
were
Ana
men.
Santa Ana, he started out okay, but boy, by the end, he found out, didn't he? And, San Jacinto,
Santa Ana was the most insecure centralist leader of the Western Hemisphere. He wanted to call himself the Napoleon of the Western Hemisphere. No, he couldn't hold Napoleon's hat. Ass beat by regulars of Texas. Okay.
The ironic thing about him, though, was he fought as a Federalist against Spain, and then it was even James Bowie was a good friend of Santa Ana's, fought with him against Spain, and so imagine the surprise of some of those Stephen F. Austin, James Bowie, Colonel Neal, some of those early patriots that came prior to independence that were actually Mexican citizens. Imagine their surprise when Santa Ana went from a Federalist to a Centralist, Scott. I think that's exactly what
That's exactly what I'm talking about. And you know what? He found out, didn't he? And how long did it take the Battle of San Jacinto? Was it 16 minutes?
19 minutes.
And, here's what I compare that to. I've said this for a long time. It took us Jimmy Carter to get Ronald Reagan. And it took the Alamo to get San Jacinto. And I'm going to tell you, I can't wait to see what Barack Obama is going to bring us.
It'll be a President
because
Ted Cruz.
It's the same concept.
It will be a President Ted Cruz, and we will be having our 2016 National Convention in Dallas. So imagine the fun we're going to have.
Wait a minute. Is that confirmed?
Nope, it's not, but I'm sure that it's going to happen.
Okay, don't tease me, bro.
All right, hey, listen, let's take this quick break, and then we're going to come out of this, and we're going to start talking some Obama and Pope.
Oh, boy.
That's what I'm saying. We'll be right back, folks. This is Michael Behrman with my buddies Eric Adam and Scott Osborne on the Michael Behrman Show. It is 44 minutes after the top of the hour. We're going to take this quick break. Call in 718-305-7176. We got a lot to talk about, a lot going on in the next 2 weeks here in North Texas. Scott, Eric, and I will be in the middle of it all. We'll be right back.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
In the race for Attorney General, there's only one constitutional conservative like Ted Cruz.
Ken Paxton stands and fights, whether it's against Obamacare, whether it's fighting for voter ID, or whether it's fighting to defend our religious liberty. And I'm proud to say Ken Paxton is my friend and fighting hard for the state of Texas.
Ken Paxton, endorsed by Texas Right to Life, A-rated by the NRA. He'll defend our Constitution.
There's only one true conservative running for Texas Senate. Connie Burton, wife, mother, grassroots conservative leader. Connie Burton will stand up for us. Senator Ted Cruz said Connie Burton wakes up every day fighting for liberty and fighting for every Texan. That's why Connie Burton is endorsed by Texans for Fiscal Responsibility and Texas Right to Life. Republican Connie Burton, the only true conservative.
And you're listening to the Michael Behrman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
Michael Behrman Show. It's 46 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Give us a call. Get on. We got some open lines right now. The website, conservativenationmedia.com. I got my two brothers from another mother on the show with me today, Eric Adam, co-founder of the San Antonio Tea Party, and my brother from another mother, Scott Osborne, who is deep into the movement, grassroots conservative politics, came to Texas from California. He's joining us today. We're all going to be tuned in, guys, next Sunday, talking about Connie Burton being endorsed by Texas Texans for Fiscal Responsibility. That's Michael Quinn Sullivan. Got a message from him today. It's still pending, but Michael feels sure that he will be on the show with us next week. It's going to be a great show. Anyway, we'll talk about that in the second hour. Eric, I want to turn it over to you. Let's get this conversation going that we've been trying to get to for 47 minutes about Obama going to visit with the Pope.
Well, first of all, I would like to acknowledge the distinguished gentleman in a kilt from Tarrant County. My thing is, and before any of the listeners wonder who I am, let me just give you a quick background on why I'm saying this. Number one, my mother was a former nun, okay, pre-Vatican II, Roman Catholic nun. I am in existence because of something I do not like, which is the Second Vatican Council that happened of the Catholic Church from 1962 to 1965. And what that did, unlike what the media likes to report, it liberalized the Catholic Church. Now, back in the day of Pope Pius XII, John the 23rd, Paul the 6th, etc., anybody with Obama's credentials, and I'm not even talking about, you know, when life begins, when it comes to pregnancy and stuff like that. We conservatives usually believe that life begins at conception. But for a Catholic pope to meet with a man who vocally advocated for infanticide, not abortion. We're not going to go into the vacuum cleaner
and doing its business. We're talking about a man who vocally advocated infanticide by saying it would change the intent of the original abortion, that that man would be allowed into my Vatican, into St. Peter's, because the Vatican is the seven hills and St. Peter's is built on that, but common mistake. That this man is allowed, and then a lot of people will go into the fact, well, the Pope, he's a head of state, right? You know, he's the head of state. I'm sorry. The Vatican City, as a political, you know, geopolitical strategic point, you don't go to Vatican City because of its geopolitical location. You go there because the Pope is there. And for Pope Francis to allow somebody that has, you know, condoned infanticide into St. Peter's is absolutely abominable. You know, and everybody was like, well, the Pope is so popular. I don't want the Pope to be popular right now. The Pope should not be popular right now because he should be coming out and speaking against all of these people, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, all these, Kerry, Ted Kennedy when he was alive. All these people should have been publicly, because of their public acts, should have been excommunicated by the Pope. And now, I get into arguments all the time with my mom about this, you know, which is, why hasn't the Pope done this? Well, it depends upon the local bishop. No, it doesn't. John Paul II, who did nothing good for the papacy, and he's going to be canonized as a saint here, I believe, in the next month or so, who did nothing good for the papacy, going to be canonized. He at least condemned Bill Clinton. That's right. That's right. But Smith, he gave a Berryman. He condemned me, and I wore that as a badge of honor. Anyway, but my thing is the fact that the very reason that Pope Francis allowed Barack Hussein Obama to St. Peter's or the Vatican or the papal residence or wherever, anywhere around him, the fact that he even met with him is a problem. Now, there is a major, major misconception, and Michael, I understand that we're coming up on a top of an hour, so I'm gonna keep this as short and brief as possible. A lot of people, Rush said this the other day, and I had a serious problem with it, which is the Pope is infallible. No, he is not. He is not infallible. The only time that infallibility comes in from the Catholic Church is talking about divine revelation that has already happened, and which means the Old and New Testament, and he's got to say certain things in order for it to be infallible. In other words, the Pope could not come out and say, infallibly, I declare that the sky is green. No, he can't do that. The only time over the past 50 years or so that the Pope has come out and spoken infallibly is back in 1950, Pope Pius XII declared the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which if you don't believe in ipso facto, you're not a Catholic. And then John Paul II, who I have serious problems with, and I don't believe that he should be canonized as a saint, he declared that the priesthood is not going to allow women. But yet, even with all that said, Rush and other people are saying, oh, yes, the Pope is infallible with everything that – no, that's an absolute misunderstanding of what the Pope says. The Pope doesn't come out every single time and says something infallible. The thing is that Rush said that the left has not influenced the Most Holy Roman Catholic Church. Yes, they have. They have. And that's the problem. All this touchy-feely crap, all this stuff, Mike, I know where you stand. Scott, I don't know where you are religiously. But there are several things that have happened over the past 50, 60 years that have been a problem. They've been a problem. And a lot of people look to Paul VI's encyclical Humanae Vitae, which is a good encyclical for the most part, but it still gives some escape clauses. The popes over the past 50, 60 years, because of the media, have been under pressure. A lot of people don't remember the fact that back in 1960, when JFK was running, our one and only Catholic president, he had to give a press conference about his religion. And he said that I am the Democrat candidate for president, not the Catholic president, not the Catholic candidate for president. That's back when people actually feared, quote-unquote, feared, or had, let me put it another way, had respect for the presidency. And they had a whole press conference over it. They had a whole press conference over that. And when JFK went and met with Paul VI, everybody was wondering, was he gonna bow and kiss his ring? And things like that. No, as a head of state, JFK did what he was supposed to do. But we have people such as Nancy Pelosi bow and kiss the ring of Benedict XVI whenever he came over here in, what was it, 2008, I believe it was, when Bush gave the birthday party for Benedict XVI. She publicly bowed and kissed the ring just to make herself look good. But if any conservative was to do that, that would be a problem. Oh, the Catholics are in control. The Catholics are in control. And so my whole point with this, Obama, if Francis would have stayed true to what the Catholic Church believes and teaches, Obama should never have been anywhere around the Vatican. And I got a lot more to say about this, but I understand we're coming up to the top of the hour, and I'm wondering whether or not my co-hosts here have any questions or comments or whatever else. We got about a minute left.
Oh, I'm certainly going to, and I'm thinking Scott will. In fact, matter of fact, you said you didn't know where Scott stands. Scott has his own blog talk network. We'll, when we come out of the hard break, as we're talking about this, he can promote that. He's Contending for Truth. Scott is a Scott. Well, just interject.
Well, and we will. I teach Old Testament history and have for 30 years, and you said some really important things, Eric, very important things, because man's infallibility is key to the message of the Bible. Moses was a murderer. King David, a man after God's own heart, was a murderer. The Apostle Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, was a murderer. Peter himself denied Christ three times. And
exactly.
Not only that, he chopped poor guy's ears off. Man's infallibility is there to prove and show the power of God. So I'd have to agree with you 100%. And I think it's a bunch of craziness. When everybody likes you, you're doing the wrong thing. I have to agree with you 100%, Eric. He should be one of the most unpopular people right now. He should be an Elijah who's wandering around the wilderness saying, you need to get back to God. And nobody likes it in this area. So when he's got everybody agreeing with him and everybody thinks he's saying the right thing, he should know by himself, by his own Bible knowledge, that he's going down the wrong road.
Well, exactly. And I know we're at the top of the hour, but there's other things here that Sola Scriptura does not. Do you understand what I mean by that, Scott?
Yes, I do.
Okay. There's other things here, just other stuff that Francis is not. This whole we're going to get rid of the papal throne and all that good stuff and blah 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 blah. No. The Vicar of Christ on Earth, established in the Bible. There's just a lot of things that Francis has done that I don't like, and I can, just as what Paul did in Galatians, just as what Paul did, resist Peter to his face. And I'm going to. There is no reason why Obama should have been anywhere near the Vicar of Christ on Earth, or for those of you in popular culture, the Pope.
Well, buddy, hey, guys, let's take this hard break. We'll come back, and we'll get back after it. I see Boyd from Alaska is in the chat room. Good to see you, Boyd. Give us a call, 718-305-7176, and join the conversation. This is Michael Behrman, along with my panelist and co-host today, Eric Adam, co-founder of San Antonio Tea Party, and Scott Osborne, fellow host, grassroots conservative, contending for truth. Guys, we'll be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Career politician Lamar Alexander has lost his way. Thankfully, Tennessee conservatives have a better choice. Conservative Joe Carr has a dependable record of standing up for conservative principles. In the Republican primary, conservatives will vote for Joe Carr, not Lamar. Lamar says we should be patient about fixing the debt. Joe Carr says the debt bomb must be defused now. Vote conservative Joe Carr, not Lamar. Lamar voted with Democrats to protect Obamacare from conservative Senator Ted Cruz. Joe Carr stood with Cruz to defund Obamacare. Vote conservative Joe Carr, not Lamar. Lamar voted with Barack Obama to reward illegal immigrants with citizenship. Joe Carr led the effort to stop the growth of illegal immigration to Tennessee. The choice is clear. Only Joe Carr, not Lamar, will defend conservative Tennessee principles.
I'm Joe Carr, and I approve this message. Join me at carr4tn.com, paid for by Joe Carr for Senate.
Friends, Texas is a special place where the family farm and ranch are still the backbone of our culture. Texas was built from the ground up with grit, honesty, and integrity. Our next agriculture commissioner should possess those same traditional Texas values. Sid Miller has proven he's that kind of man. A man with a lifelong history in Texas agriculture with strong convictions that can lead and make difficult decisions. Sid is known and respected across Texas as a true conservative and champion of our Second Amendment rights. As the chairman of the State House Agriculture and Livestock Committee, Sid fought hard for Texas farmers and ranchers. He's a lifelong cattleman and understands the issues facing Texas agriculture. Sid is a dedicated Christian family man who is committed to protecting everyday Texans like you and me. Let's elect a man with true Texas values to be our next agriculture commissioner. Vote for Sid Miller for the future of Texas agriculture.
Paid for by the Sid Miller Campaign. Ted Nugent, Treasurer.
Live from Patriot Studios in Hazlett, Texas, this is The Michael Behrman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com. All right. It is
4 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Michael Berryman on the Michael Berryman Show with my brothers from another mother, Eric Adam and Scott Osborne. The phone number, 718-305-7176. Give us a call. Boyd, love to hear from you. Give us a call, brother. ConservativeNationMedia.com is where you can find me. Eric and Scott will tell you where you can find them. We've got a really good show going on today. Right now we're talking about the Obama and a visit to the Pope. We've talked some Texas history, the spirit of being a Texan. You've probably heard that in my rotations I've got ads going for several candidates here in Texas, as well as the candidates outside of Texas, to include Matt Bevin, Joe Carr, and Nancy Mace. Guys, I'm not one of these kind of people that believes that that politics is local. I believe Justice Scott helped you and I, Eric, from California with Ted Cruz in 2012, that it's our responsibility to help candidates outside of our areas of interest, me, Tarrant County, you, Bexar County, Scott over in, it's either Dallas, Mesquite's in Dallas or Terrell County, Scott?
Well, I think it's in both. We're in the Dallas County part.
Okay. So, you know, politics is not local. And my point being, in order to affect change, we've got to help people that are going to get in and help those people that we've already gotten in office. You know, April 6th, we are going to have, Scott and I are going to have, Eric, a show like you would not believe. Texas Candidate Fair from 3 to 6. It will be a three-hour special. We've got Dan Patrick at 3:15, Ken Paxton at 3:30, Wayne Christian at 3:45. My buddy Sid Miller. Sid Miller is just a great man. I love me some Sid. He lives right down the road from me.
He is a great man because he introduced the sonogram law into the Texas Senate.
Sid's just a great guy. Connie Burton from Texas Senate District 10, which is Wendy Davis's old district. John Ratcliffe from the 4th Congressional District, who's up against Ralph Hall. Ralph's a good man, guys. But you know what? 18 terms. He's 90 years old. It's time for Ralph to ride off into the sunset. We're going to have Eric Moram, who's running for State Board of Education District 11. Bob Hall, Senate District 2. Steve Toth, Senate District 4. And pending, but I think it's going to happen. I'm almost positive. Well, Ken Paxton's pending as well. I think this will materialize. I feel positive that Ken is going to be able to show up. And I think that this last gentleman that I'm about to mention is going to be able to. He messaged me, said he felt that like he could. He just needed to check his schedule. And that's my buddy. Founder of one of the three organizations that, and perhaps the most important, it's a close tie. Well, actually all three of them, Young Conservatives of Texas, Texas Eagle Forum, and Empower Texans / Texans for Fiscal Responsibility. Those are the scorecards I use to vet my candidates based on what those individuals have scored, the individuals as. So I think we're going to have, I'm almost positive, at 4:30. It will be mid-show. He'll hear some of the candidates. He'll get him on at 4:30, and then we'll have some more candidates. But that is none other than my buddy Michael Quinn Sullivan. So we have got next Saturday. In fact, Eric, I may need to get you. You may need to log in and help Scott and I with this. This is going to be a massive show. I think we're going to set a world record for candidates on any given blog talk radio show. I don't know. Your thoughts, and then we'll jump back into the Obama thing.
Well, my thoughts are they willing to answer the hard-hitting questions? I have questions for Ken Paxton. I got questions for Dan Patrick. I got questions for all the candidates. You know, this isn't something, and this is the problem that we always face, which is, you know, you lob these softballs. And I'm not saying this about you, Mike. I'm just saying, you know, they are used to going to radio shows and being asked, okay, how are your wife and kids? No, I don't care. I really don't. What are you going to do for my state? That's what I want to know.
The premise of this show is actually not so much a question and answer show. If I just had, let's just say I had four of them on in a two-hour show where we had time to go into some questions and answers and take calls, which we're not just simply not going to be able to do because of the formatting, for the schedule. I mean, we're basically going to be running these candidates through. We'll get them on. I think the main thing I want to touch on is tell us about education and tell us about border security. What do you plan to do? What are your thoughts about how we're going to tackle Common Core, C-Scope, as we call it in Texas? And what are we going to do? What are your thoughts? How would you secure the border? And other than that, it's going to be, you know, tell us where we can find you, yada, yada, yada. Now, obviously, I've endorsed all these people, and I've asked them the tough questions when I was vetting them. But I understand exactly what you're saying. But we're going to be probably, because we're going to be running them in and out so quick, Eric, and maybe Scott can expound on this. I mean, they're basically going to end up with about 9 to maybe 11 minutes of time. There's not a lot of time there for questions and answers. So Scott and I have talked about it, and we've decided that education and border security are the two most critical issues facing Texas right now. Scott, what do you think?
Well, and I agree with you, Michael. And I'll tell you, I think there's a time and a place for everything. And I think there's a time and a place for hard time questions. And then there's a time and a place for just good old-fashioned support. I believe a lot of these candidates, especially when it comes to the mainstream media, not only have to tackle hard questions, but they have to tackle some idiot questions at the same time. And I like to do that. But I also like to take time with candidates like these that I support. And I just have to throw in here, I want to note something to the listeners. Eric and Michael did something, and I'm going to do the exact same thing, and that's stop at Sid Miller. I'm going to tell you, Michael, this guy is incredible. I was supporting him before I left California. You suggested him to me, and when I started really looking at this man, he's a statesman. He's got an incredible reputation. And so I agree with you, Eric, on sometimes it's time for hard questions. I think sometimes, like this time, this is a good time to really let the candidates just let people know who they are and let us see some of their personality. I've interviewed Sid, and what I loved about the show that we interviewed him on, we didn't have a lot of time. He was out at the Tarrant County Fair at the time. But my listeners got to see some of the personality and who Sid actually was and listen to him explain some of these things. You know, Sid Miller's running for Agriculture Commission. But he's hot down on Common Core. And he's got, what does Common Core have to do with agriculture? You know, really? Well, here's what it has to do. Sid will give you the right answer. The children of today are going to be the agricultural leaders of tomorrow. And so that kind of common sense that comes out of it is what I also like for the listener to hear. And so I agree with you, Michael, 100%.
Well, Eric, I'm not trying to be contrary to what you just said, Scott. My whole thing is that, you know, I don't want the tripe canned responses. And I understand you're going to have, you know, very limited time. I get that. I understand that. But you don't, you know, if they're not willing to answer tough questions, if they're not willing to answer that, then how are they going to make the tough decisions? How
oh, you're absolutely
are they...
right.
Oh, correct.
So why is it that you don't – I've said this to you, Mike, especially with a certain situation that we have going on right now. We got to police our own. We don't want the media determining these lower offices, because these lower offices are not that low. They issue permits. They do certain things that I have to be worried about in the future. And so I'm just, you know, Okay, fine. Tell me about your wife. Tell me about your kids. But then shut up and tell me what you're going to do about XYZ ABC. That's what I want to know.
I actually couldn't agree with you more. I guess my thought on this, Eric, is, of course, leading up to the primary, had I had any one or all of these candidates on when we were still in the primary, where it was, you know, say Connie Burton, Shelton, and the other two candidates, I forget their name now, and we had a choice between four people, that for me, that would have been the time and the place. Of course, I know all these people. I've already vetted them. For this show, though, thinking I invited who I invited and asked who I came on, number one, because I've already endorsed them. My questions have already been answered. And I think Scott actually explained it well. I mean, we're down – all of these candidates, with the exception of Michael Quinn Sullivan, who endorses all these candidates as well. The reason that I set the show up the way I did was exactly for what Scott said. For instance, Dan Patrick. The choice is simple. It's either Dan Patrick or David Dewhurst. I think by this point we know what we need to know about the two. I want people to be able to listen that might have been the Patterson supporter or the Staples supporter, and they're trying to figure out, which is not people like you or Scott or I, Eric. I mean, we already know, but because we wear tinfoil hats, and that's the kind of people that we have, you know. But it's those people that don't do what we do that I want to be able to hear. And, you know, yes, the tough questions have to be answered, but I think there's a lot to say for getting to hear somebody just naturally, get to know their person. When I first met Dan Patrick, well, any one of these candidates, but I'll use Dan Patrick, I invited him into my home. I had a coffee. We had a coffee for Tarrant County at my mom's house on the lake. And I had already been calling for Dan prior to him ever throwing his hat in the ring to run, because I like Dan Patrick. I don't live in his district, but I've followed his career since 2007. I like Dan Patrick. He's a Tea Party grassroots conservative kind of guy, and I like what he's done. I like his record. I don't think I could point to any one thing he's done that I've got a problem with, unlike David Dewhurst, who's been a good man. Don't get me wrong. David has served Texas well. He's been good to Texas. But what he did to Ted Cruz in 2012,
what Dewhurst did to Cruz in 2012, you got to understand something. My mom, for whatever reason, is very, very subject to what is played on TV, okay? And what Dewhurst did to Cruz is an absolute abomination, a slander. He was doing his job when he was that lawyer for that Chinese tire firm. That was absolutely reprehensible, what Dewhurst did. And yeah. But even with that being said, Dewhurst has not been a good lieutenant governor. That's
well,
it.
And then his leadership this last summer during HB2, in allowing the mob to take control of the gallery, and all decorum was lost, and it was because of David Dewhurst that Wendy Davis became the quote unquote rock star she is. But listen, guys, we got to take this quick soft break. We'll come back out of that, and we'll focus and regroup, and we'll move on.
All right.
All right. Stand by, guys.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
He's become a leading national voice defending our Second Amendment rights and fighting Obama's attacks on Texas gun owners. Dan Patrick.
This is America, and our Constitution gives us the right to bear arms. This is not Tokyo. This is not Finland. This is the United States of America. Hmm. And in America, where law-abiding citizens have guns, crime is down.
Fight Obama. Defend our Second Amendment rights. Dan Patrick for Lieutenant Governor.
During 30 years in Washington, Mitch McConnell has become part of the problem. McConnell has voted for higher taxes, bailouts, debt ceiling increases, congressional pay raises, and liberal judges. Yet we have no solutions for our problems, just more politics as usual. America deserves better.
I'm Matt Bevin. I approve this message because America deserves more than failed leadership. We can do better. I grew up in an old farmhouse. Six kids, one bathroom, no shower, no central heat. I served in the military and have lived the American dream. My wife Glenna and I are blessed with nine children, four of whom we adopted. Kentucky deserves better than failed policies from Washington. Political bullies more focused on scoring points than solving problems, and an elite political class that puts power ahead of principle. We must do better. As your senator, I'll represent Kentucky values, not Washington values. Please join my campaign today. Together, we will change Washington. Together, we will do better.
You're listening to The Michael Behrman Show on conservativenationmedia.com.
And this is the Michael Behrman Show on Conservative Nation Media. You can find us at conservativenationmedia.com. The phone number is 718-305-7176. We got some open lines. Give us a call. I'm joined today by my brothers, Eric Adam and Scott Osborne. You know, I was listening to that. We were talking. We've been all over the board. The three of us have went really ADD today. We've been all over the board. We were talking about all of the candidates and the basis of the show that we're going to do next Sunday. And then we went right into the break, and it started with the Dan Patrick advertisement. You know, look, I don't got a bromance on the guy or nothing. I've been following his career. I think Dan Patrick, frankly, I think I've never been so proud, guys. The proudest moment in my life was volunteering for and getting to know Senator Ted Cruz and being a member of an original member of the Cruz crew. And when I say original, what I mean is joining the Cruz crew in mid-2011 when we were 3% in the polls, as Senator Cruz likes to joke around and say, but Heidi walked in and said, but actually you're -1.5. I would say next to that, if not maybe more proud, is not only supporting Senator Dan Patrick for Lieutenant Governor of Texas, but knowing Senator Dan Patrick. I mean, I don't want to sound braggish, but he's been in my home. After the primaries on earlier in the month, I was doing my precinct convention. I couldn't answer the phone. I got done. It was 8 o'clock at night. It was a voicemail from Senator Patrick. He personally invited my wife and I to be his guest at the Tarrant County Lincoln Day Reagan dinner. And that's not to woo me. I mean, I had long since already endorsed the guy. He's a good, solid Christian man. He's got the principles that I like. Next week, we'll talk a little bit of education. We're going to Senator Patrick's going to get to explain. There's some hubbub going around. Scott knows a lot more about it than I. That's Scott's forte, is education. And, you know, so we'll let Senator Patrick explain that. I know about it. I happened that when that whole issue with C-Scope came up a year and a half or 2 years ago, I was the person that called the Mark Davis Show here in the Metroplex. That was me. I can dig up the podcast on that. Mark, right at first, laughed at me, thought I was a conspiracy geek. And I love me some Mark Davis. You guys can probably tell my show, you know, they say that imitation is the best form of flattery. My show is modeled after the Mark Davis Show. I've been listening to Mark for 20 years now, and I know him, and he thought I was a nut. But Susan Cloud, his producer, got a hold of Dan Patrick, got him on the show, and then Mark jumped on the C-Scope bandwagon. And it was because of that call to Mark and Susan Cloud's call to Dan Patrick that, along with some other good friends of ours, I'm not going to name their names, that Dan Patrick got involved, and I believe he did the best that he could do. Could everything be done? Probably not. There's a lot more that needs to be done. Excuse me. The left are infiltrating our education system. But anyway, look, it's 4:25. I'm gonna hand it over to you guys. Let's go wherever you want to go. We'll take the hard break. We'll come out of that. And so just, I don't know. Eric, go ahead. Go with it, brother.
Okay, Scott. What are your measurements? I don't know.
Speaking of measurements,
Mike wanted to introduce you to me. I gotta know these things, man.
Well, you know what? That's really a good question, because I can use that question to slide into here. Because here's my measurement for a candidate, and this will kind of what we were talking about. You know, Michael and I, we know each other because of a man that lives in Georgia named Herman Cain. And I learned some things while we were helping Herman Cain.
There's no way that you, as a conservative, like the black guy. There's no way.
He was black?
No, you're lying.
And here all this time I thought he was Irish.
You're lying. You're lying. No. Just admit to your lie and get it over with. You don't care. You hate Obama because he's black, and you just wanted to use Herman Cain because he gave you free pizza or some BS.
It absolutely must have been it. Why I like Herman Cain, because the federal government cannot micromanage. But anyway, you know, Michael and I learned something from that campaign. And this was it. Herman Cain got up and gave us incredible material, and me and Michael spread it, because we knew that Herman Cain's positive intensity was so high that if people heard Herman Cain, they liked Herman Cain. And then Herman Cain left, and he said, go local, and we all did. We all went in. You know, Ted Cruz, I supported heavily Dan Hughes down in California running for Senate, wanting to run against Dianne Feinstein. And as we got into these local races, one of the things I found was we had the grassroots, that worked, but we didn't have the material in order to spread, in order to help get the candidate out. And so here's the way I look at my blog talk. You know, I'm not a 501c, I'm not a 503, a 505, any of that.
Whatever the hell it is, don't worry about it.
This is my way of helping the candidates out. So I'm like Michael. I vetted my candidates before they come on, and I'll tell you what I have vetted them for. It's not conservative stance. Now, every one of my candidates have a solid conservative stand, but that's not what's important to me. I want to make sure they're solid in character, because if they could be the most conservative person out there and end up in Washington, D.C., and then 10 years later they're a Bob the Cork, the Dork Corker. Or they're a Lamar Alexander, or there are any number of conservative candidates that we can look at that are now following the money and not standing by their principles. When I looked at Sid Miller, I looked at his issues, and we agreed on all the issues, but that's not what I looked for. I looked for the character behind the man. And when I started talking to people about Sid Miller, and they said the same thing over and over and over again to me, that when he went to the Texas State House, he did what he said he was going to do. And when I looked at the character that he's developed, you know, just riding a horse and being a rancher, you know, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to milk a cow, that's character development. And that's what I look for. So every one of my candidates that I've ever had on Blog Talk Radio that I have interviewed, I've already vetted them. I have already asked them the hard questions. I know and I am confident that if they go to office, they're going to be the same person when they get to office as they are when they're campaigning. And that's my measurement. That's my measurement of who I'm looking for. So as we go on throughout this and next week, I cannot wait to just listen to these guys. And I haven't vetted all of them. There's a handful of those guys in there I'm just now getting to know. But that's what I'm really looking for. And I think we're going to ask some questions. I think there's some of them are going to have to answer some questions, especially on education, that aren't easy to ask. But at the same time, I see this as our way of getting out and helping these guys win, because I think that's important. The grassroots has to have media to share in order to accomplish the task. And some of these, especially an agricultural commissioner, what's that? You know, most of the time people get their ballot and they look down and they know who the state senator is, they know who their local congressman is. When they come down to the board of supervisors or a judge or a commissioner of some kind, they have no clue. And I think it's partly Michael and I's job, your job, Erica, is we spread information to help get the information out on those guys and make people aware of who these people are. Because sometimes these local races, these more different races that people don't follow, are a whole lot more important than the presidential election. The left knows that. They've spent years working on those elections.
The local elections are the farm team. The local elections are a farm team. You have a state senator who became pretty much the president of the United States. Okay? So
right.
The local elections are critical. Mike, bottom of the hour or not?
Yes, it's bottom of the hour. Let's take this hard break. We'll come back out of this. And I think hopefully Ralph Gonzalez will be calling in here shortly. He did indicate he would be calling in. But let's take this hard break. We'll be right back, guys.
All right. Hello, my name is Wayne Christian. For a decade and a half, I've served in the Texas House and now seek your vote for Texas Railroad Commission. Our oil and gas is important in Texas, and the Railroad Commission is who will protect us. I was the most conservative legislator in the Texas House, chairman of the Texas Conservative Coalition. I was honored to have a 100% voting record with Texas Eagle Forum, an A-plus of Young Conservatives of Texas, and an A-plus from Texans for Fiscal Responsibility.
What does the Railroad Commission do? It's responsible for the gift of oil and gas and natural resources God has given us in Texas, under the ground that no other state enjoys. I grew up in the big city of Tinhau, Texas, pumping gasoline at my daddy's filling station, so I'm glad to say that as running for your Texas State Railroad Commission, I literally started at the bottom of the industry. We have the Obama administration, the extremist environmental organizations, others that are declaring the lives of lizards, plants, rabbits, and other wild animals as endangered species and stopping production all across Texas. We need to keep Texas the independent miracle that it is. Folks, it's time we stood up and fought, and you need somebody that has been there, done that, and I'm your man.
To get involved, visit our website, christianfortexas.com. Visit us on Facebook and Twitter. And remember, when you go to vote, the only Christian you'll find on the ballot.
All right, here I am, proud to be a Texan, with my blood brother, Sid Miller. And if you want to keep Texas as the last best place, if you want to keep Texas, Texas, visit SidMillerForTexas.com. In fact, make that MillerForTexas.com. Go to MillerForTexas.com and make a donation so that my blood brother, Sid Miller, becomes the Ag Commissioner of Texas. Because Texas is the best. Let's keep it the best.
You're listening to The Michael Behrman Show on conservativenationmedia.com. And this song goes out to all my blood brothers out there that have served.
And this is the Michael Berryman Show here on Conservative Nation Radio. That was Steve Earle bringing us back in. As I said, that song goes out to my brothers, Eric. Thank you for your service. I appreciate it.
Hey, you were right there with me, man.
Well, I was. And, people serve in all kinds of capacities. Our brother here, Scott, the uniform he's been wearing has been that for traditional American values. So, we all wear our uniforms, so, I'm blessed to call you guys brothers, and I thank you for joining me today. It is 34 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. You can find us at conservativenationmedia.com. I would never ask Sid, but I'm very tempted to, because Uncle Ted is my absolute favorite artist of all. I love Ted Nugent. I've been listening to him since the early 70s. Back in those days, I did a lot of things I shouldn't have. I'll just be honest with you. There was a time in my life back in the 70s when I smoked so much weed that the Zigzag Man had a tattoo of me on his arm. I grew out of that, but that's just the way it was. And I know Ted wouldn't approve of that, but God, there's a part of me that's just like, Sid, is there any way? That would be a wet dream come true if I could get Ted Nugent on the show. But I digress. We are 35 minutes after the top of the hour. We've got one more soft break, guys. Let's go where we were going with this. We've hardly even touched on the news topics, but this has been a packed show.
Well, yeah, and yeah, you smoking weed. Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah.
That was a long time ago. All right. As President Bush
said,
that Cheetos was the
end right now.
That
I
was the
Cheetos.
Indiscretion of youth.
I need some. What? You are going to try to prove to me that you're older to me even more than what you already have proved? I don't get that. I don't
nope.
get that.
Nope. Just that I...
anyway.
Just that I made some mistakes in my youth. But anyway, so we're... did we ever clear up the thing? And you guys are better able to talk about this than me. With Obama visiting the Pope, and of course we've been talking about all the candidates that are going to be on next Sunday, April the 6th, on the Texas Candidates Forum here on the Michael Berryman Show, and then the following Saturday, all three of us are going to be in Corsicana.
That's right.
Well, Scott, I wanted to get your take on the I'm the son of a former nun, but I wanted to get your take on, because you're not me, and you'll never be me, okay? I was a good altar boy, and I'm loyal to my mother, who was a former nun. And by the way, sarcasm is one of my fortes. But seriously, what did you think of Obama and Francis and all that good stuff?
Well, I thought it was a bunch of nonsense. Flat out nonsense. I don't care who it is. This president of the United States is going in the exact opposite. Whether you're a Catholic or a Protestant or a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or any number of denominations, I think it was abhorrent to have that go in that direction. But I've had this question, Eric, and I've had this for a long time, and I want to throw it back at you because I don't. You know Catholic politics. I don't. I want to give you my impression. When the last pope resigned, and then all of a sudden we've got this new pope, I don't want to put on my tinfoil hat too hard, but it looked to me like there was some dirty business going on in the back of what was going on.
that, that the last pope was made to resign so that they could bring in this new liberal pope who was going to go out and basically spout a lot of things that this president is spouting at the same time. I don't know. That's just been my impression. So I want to throw that back at you. What do you think about that?
Well, here's the thing. Like I said, I am a traditional Roman Catholic. I am not one of these touchy-feely, let's do the handshaking at the kiss of peace type BS Roman Catholics. I have had problems, obviously, with Francis, Benedict XVI, John Paul II, especially John Paul II, because he moved priests around. John Paul II, in my opinion, and you have to understand something, you two coming as non-Catholics, a lot of people say, well, if you reject the Pope, then you're whatever. No, I accept the office of the papacy. I do not necessarily have to accept the Pope if he's going contrary to morals and doctrine and ethics and things like that. And the main reason why I say that is because people will say, well, okay, the Pope is against condoms. Well, no, that goes against morals and ethics. I mean, not to get indelicate here, but the whole purpose of sex is to have kids, okay? If you just happen to have sex with your wife on a certain night and she doesn't end up pregnant, okay.
Oh, Scott, I think Eric, if you're still listening, your Skype dropped.
I'm here.
All right. Well, Skype dropped right in mid-sentence. I hate that when that happens. I hope he calls back in. I was just sitting here. I was just texting Ralph Rodriguez. I hope he calls in. I'm sorry, Ralph Gonzalez. I hope he calls in and tell us about that rally that we're going to, brother. Let's talk while we're waiting for Eric to get back to us. Our show next Sunday. I'm shocked at the reception that you and I have had on this. We put it out there. We got Dan Patrick, Wayne Christian, and Sid Miller all confirmed within minutes of putting the word out. And then we started getting messages from other candidates. Can you get me on? We had to go from a 2-hour show to a 3-hour show.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. And Michael, here's the thing. I am getting good response from people all over the country that are looking forward to this.
Well, I mean, this is – Scott, I don't want to seem braggish. I'm not trying to brag, but this is just phenomenal. I mean, we've got we've got Dan Patrick, Ken Paxton, Wayne Christian, who is – I can't wait to introduce you to Wayne. You know about Sid. Connie Burton, John Ratcliffe, Eric Moran, Bob Hall, Steve Toth. We've got 9 candidates and Michael Quinn Sullivan. I mean,
it's going to be incredible. Michael, this is going to be to me Blog Talk Radio on crack. Because you know me well enough to know one of my favorite things to do is interview a candidate and talk personally to a candidate and be able to ask them questions and give them a chance to respond outside the 30-second soundbite. So to have so many real good candidates all at the same time I think it's something that we need to not just do one of. I think this needs to be something that we continue to do.
Absolutely. And I'm kind of hoping that this will set the standard moving forward. Scott, you just, 2.5-3 months ago, you got, I'm just texting Eric, telling him to call back. You just got here, 2.5-3 months ago?
Yep.
And you had a vast network on your own. throughout the entire country. I just got to commend you. You got into Texas, and I've been telling you for years, Scott, that Texas politics, and it's unlike anything outside of you know, in any other state. And I mean, I hesitate because I don't like people to think I'm the braggadocious, stereotypical Texan. But you would have, I'm hoping you would have to admit, Texas politicking is unique. It's different. You actually, I mean, I don't know what it's like in California. I don't know. Maybe it's the same. But
No, not at all.
I do know that you have fallen into the cracks. You are in, when I say cracks, I mean like sidewalk cracks. You have, just in the short time you've been here, you have networked beyond belief. And I mean, we live in a state where we still do back porch chats with our candidates.
And you know what, Michael? That has been the big thing that I've seen. I keep telling people, Texas politics is still small-town politics, even though this is a huge state. You know, my sister graduated with Devin Nunes, our congressman from my own district back in California. And I've been in his home when he was a kid. I tried my hardest to get attention to him, to let him know that as a grassroots activist, I'd help him. I couldn't even get a hold of him in California. Rodney Lee Conover and Dan Hughes are the only two candidates that I've supported in California. Since I've gotten here, I've got friends with every one of those people that are on our list that have a Facebook page and have had interactions with them. You know, one of the most touching things in the whole wide world to me was when you and I went to that Connie Burton fundraiser. And Giovanni, we walked up to him, shook his hand, and he looked at me. He knew who I was.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about, Michael. And you know what's wonderful is that makes me want to support these people that much more. I've had good contact with Sid Miller. I've had good contact with Connie Burton. I'm really looking hard at Wayne Christian right now. I've been looking at him for a long time. Can't wait to meet him and some of these other people. And the connect is there. It is small town. Everything in Texas is bigger except for the politics. It's small town. Like you said, back porch. And I'm loving every minute of that, Michael. And it's hugely, in fact, it's the polar opposite of what I had in California.
You know, and it's so gratifying to hear that because until someone actually comes to Texas and gets to enjoy and experience that does what you and I do. I mean, I can get on the radio every Sunday and I can run my mouth and talk about who called me and all of this and that and the other, and it sounds braggish, and I'm not bragging. It's just for you and I, Scott, it's just every day. I mean,
right?
You know how you know. It's to me, it's not an odd thing to be able to have communication with Senator Cruz or to, you know, have a dialogue man to man with the next lieutenant governor of Texas. I mean, now granted, once they get into office, I don't get to chat with the senator like I used to. There's probably a lot of overriding factors for that. I mean, heck, you can hardly get close to him anymore. The man's got security, and he has to because he's such a polarizing figure. But there's no reason in the world. Senator Patrick is my friend. I mean, he's more than just someone that I support. He's my friend. Sid Miller is my friend. I've known Wayne for years now. For me, it's just, and for you, as you're learning, it's just natural. It's natural to be able to know that I can message or I text. I mean, I'm able to just pick up the phone and text these guys if I need to. That's just natural for me. It's not, I couldn't imagine it being any other way, Scott. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And you know what, Michael, I want to take it a little step deeper. I think it goes to character on behalf of all Texans. And which is one of the main reasons we moved here. You know, my sister here a few years back, we were living down in Porterville right before we moved up to Springville up in the foothills. She was sitting out front one morning and listening to the kids across the street, and their mouths were obnoxious. And one of the reasons, big reason we moved was C-Scope, Texas getting rid of C-Scope, Common Core. But another, the huge reason we also moved was because of character differences, of morality, of social skills, of politeness. You know, I loved it when we came into Texas. One of the first signs I saw was, you know, we drive a little bit more different here. We drive politely. Let's keep it that way. You know, when we're going down the road in the highways in Texas, people follow the speed limit. In California, the speed limit can stay 60 miles an hour, and everybody's still driving 90. There's a mentality difference, and I think that contributes to a big bulk of this. Because when I'm sitting there and I'm having a chat with Sid Miller about something that I can do to help him, there is a different mentality. And look at some of the different activists, Stathan, Texas, somebody I'm growing to love near and dear, and different people like that. Lawrence Jones, man, we need to really give that man some help.
Lawrence,
I tell
Lawrence
you about a 21-year-old kid who is phenomenal. And it's because he's got good character. He was raised right. And out in California, character's gone. Rudeness is the place of the day. I went out to go visit with my sister at her work, and went to the park in Irving because I had an extra 15 minutes. And walking back with Sid Enna, these two ladies walked by, and the lady looked up and said, "Well, hi." Well, you know what? That wouldn't happen in California. If you say hi to somebody in California, they look away and start to run like you're a serial killer. And so, that's the part that I'm loving, Michael, about being here in Texas. The character differences in the people. There's a different mentality, and I think that's the foundation that makes it all awesome. Proud Texan. You know it.
Well, brother, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, we were talking about it at the start of the show. It's like I told Eric. Eric should be calling back in here in a second. I think he's needing to reboot his computer. Skype freezes up sometimes. It's just the nature of the beast. But, you know, it's like, you know, when we planned the show for next Sunday and I asked you, I said, "Scott, I said, I know you've got your own network, but I need some help. I mean, this is going to be a big show. There's just no way I can do it on my own. I don't even know that you and I, we may need an engineer in there with us." That's why I asked Eric. And because this thing has got to go off without a hitch. We've got you and I have some very important candidates in a very important runoff that are going to determine the future of Texas and America. And, you know, when you moved, and it's like I put in that post, my fellow Texan, not that I bestow Texas-dom on people, but brother, I'm so glad that you've moved to Texas because you're a Texan at heart. And, you know, I think, Scott, I think people throughout the
country. Hey,
is that Eric?
I'm back.
Eric, I was just talking to Scott. I think people throughout the country that do what you and Eric and I do, regardless of where they're from. And by the way, guys, I need 3.5 minutes at the end of the show for our outro. It's a special outro today. So we've got about 4 minutes. So I'm going to wrap it up, and Scott, we'll let Eric finish up. But I need both of you guys to tell us about where we can find y'all. But, you know, I was saying I think people that do what we do, wherever they're from in the country, they have the Texans in them.
Amen.
Well, obviously. Scott, go ahead.
Well, I'll just really throw out there real quick, Contending for Truth Radio here on Blog Talk. Tuesday nights we do Parental Sovereignty. Saturdays we do Saturday Symposium with Dan Wilson, both political shows. And then on Friday, Ladies Bible Class. I've taught it for 5 years in Springville. Now I teach it from California, and the ladies still sit at the table in Springville, wandering through the Old Testament. You can tune in there.
Scott, that sounds awesome, brother. Stand by. For just the closing final 30-second remarks. Eric, give us a couple of minutes. Tell us a little bit about T-Patriot Production. Tea Party Productions. And Eric, your show starts here on Conservative Nation Media next Friday. Remember Who We Are with Eric Adams. And I'm so glad that we met a couple of weeks ago. We've been floating around the same circles, but for years now, but, you know, I mean, there'll be people that I'll meet and I'll say, "Why the hell aren't we friends on Facebook?" because I've seen you around forever. So I'm so glad that God finally crossed our paths and that you and I are collaborating along with my partner, Duke Brooks. And so anyway, just give us the quick rundown and then we'll close this show out.
Well, first of all, you put an S on my last name again. I will travel up to North Texas just for the sole purpose of executing a hasty maneuver on you. Okay?
Dude, I put an S on everything.
Just don't. Okay, Mike Berrymans. Okay? How you like that? You like that?
Okay. I love it.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. I want another. But no, if you're really sick of watching what you're watching, you're thinking, oh my God, what is this? Why is it that Miley Cyrus is on front of the magazines or Kim Kardashian or whatever else? You know, I got three daughters. Two of which are preteen, one of which is only 3 years old. And then I have a wife, and some of us have that. And you honestly, you know, you want to believe in God. You want to believe in this country. You want to believe in what we do and what the founders do. You know, I'm not a prophet. I'm not anything like that. I'm just an average Joe. I'm an average father. I am somebody who actually still knows. Do either one of you, Scott or Mike, can y'all change the oil in your vehicles? Mike, I'm pretty sure you can. Scott, I don't know. You came from California.
I can. I prefer not to.
You prefer not to. Okay. All right. Yeah.
And
California.
That's
the difference between Texans and Californians. Texans change their own damn oil. Californians regulated out of existence.
I don't anymore. I'm too dang lazy now. But brother, tell us about your show.
Well, my show is just going to address what's out there. We're not gonna beat up on Obama because that's done way too much. We're going to address what is out there that caused Obama, because Obama is our fault, whether we want to admit to it or not. Obama is our fault, but what got us there? Okay, that's the problem.
That's what we'll start addressing on your show starting on Fridays from what time to what time, brother?
It should be 7 to 9 Central Daylight Time.
On Fridays here on Conservative Nation Media.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm out of time. We've got to take this show out. So pardon me. I'm sorry we got to scoot out here. Eric, thank you so much for joining me today. Scott, thank you for joining me so much today. I look forward to seeing both of you guys in Corsicana, and I look forward to our show that we'll be doing.
Corsicana had a badass marching band tune.
Yep. All right. Well, actually, we're going out with everybody's been waiting for this. We're going out with a little bit of ZZ Top because Scott and Eric and I would like to thank you.
Love me like you did, but you did, but you did. And I thank you. You did not love me like you did, but you did, but have to shake it, but you did, but you did.